FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is November 27th, 2018. Hey, as always, be a part of the show. Write us. Email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, someone we haven't had on for a while who accurately foretold the coming crash of 08-09. It's been documented. We've had him on many times. Well, where are we now? What's going to happen? Our good friend Daryl Shoon is with us now. Daryl, welcome back.
Kerry, it's good to be back, especially now. Right? Especially now. Yeah. I did predict, I wrote a paper in 2007 and said we're about to go into the toilet. And they had just started to flush it, and a year and a half happened. It happened, all right? Now, what they did, Kerry, was they had done, after it did go to hell, after everything did fall apart, they did something they had never done before. What they had done before was lower interest rates to zero to try and reliquify it, to try and get their Ponzi scheme of credit debt moving again. But even that didn't work, all right? Mm-hmm. So by early 2009, what the world started doing was something new called quantitative easing. They had never done this before. And the reason they did it was because the 2008 collapse was about to take them back to the Great Depression. And they knew what happened then, and they wanted to do, they knew they needed to prevent it. So instead of just lowering interest rates to zero, what they did was they started injecting money directly into the economy the best way they knew how. First of all, they bought trillions of dollars of loans from banks, bad loans. They bought all those dodgy mortgage bank securities because they knew if the banks went down, the whole system would go down. That's what they did in the 1930s. The whole free market idea is that free markets recover, you clean them out. That theory, they tried to let that happen in the early 1930s. They let all the fractional reserve, over-leveraged banks go under. And what happened? Lending stopped because there are no banks. All right. So the bankers, what the central bankers did was they directly injected trillions of dollars into the banks, all right, and took the bad loans off their backs. Now, what the banks did with that money was it didn't get into the economy. All right. Why? Because the banks were scared. So what the banks did is that they raised the interest rates to everybody else, and they only made safe bets, all right, to the boys at the top. All right. Now, the boys at the top, who were the safe bets in 2009, took that extra money and they weren't going to build another factory because demand was collapsing. They weren't going to expand the economy because demand was collapsing. They, too, were afraid of not getting paid back. So what they did with that excess money, the trillions of dollars around the world, they put it into financial assets, real estate, stocks, bonds, and commodities. So what we've had since then is a bubble of we've got $100 trillion bubble here 9 years later, okay, almost 10 years later after the 2008 collapse. It is 10 years later, all right? And that's about to collapse now. This is where we are today. The what you're seeing in the markets today is the result of is that instability that happens at the top, Kerry, all right? Bubbles go up, but they don't go up in straight lines. They go up, down, yeah, but generally the trend line is up, all right? Then you get to the top, and what happens is the trend line stops, it flattens out, all right? And it not only flattens out, it gets more volatile, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is what you're seeing. You're seeing a mud wrestling match at the top, okay?
Yeah. Right.
Now, the tech bubble has basically driven us for the last 6 years. All right? Technology, which is, you know, our word for new, you know, because we live in a technological age, was what drove the 1920s bubble in the United States, the stock market, RCA. It was radio then. It drove the dot-com bubble in the late 1990s. All right. And now it drove, you know, the FANG stocks, you know, all the Facebook, you know, and, you know, Google. It's driven that. Now that bubble is starting to deflate, all right? What you're going to see here is like a period before it collapses, all right? Now, we're also here at a time where cryptocurrencies are deflating too. So this has got everybody freaked because a large number of people knew that the system was collapsing, and they figured cryptocurrencies, which was even the newest boy on the block, was going to save us as we went through. Now,
right.
My feeling about cryptocurrencies is this, because, you know, I've always been a gold and silver boy because it's about money, and the money to me is a store of value. All right. Mm-hmm. I love the cryptocurrencies were great because it took it out of the hands of governments, which always destroyed money because they printed too much. All right. Mm-hmm. But by the way, was the bankers, they were the ones who created the money, and with the money, they created credit and debt. Okay. Now, what you've got is a cryptocurrency that is neither based on government issuance, nor is it based nor does it accrue credit and debt with this issuance. So it is immune to both. But the fatal flaw of cryptocurrency so far is that there's no stable store of value. The fact that it's hard to mine and difficult to mine no more makes it valuable than its expense than the cost of mining makes gold or silver valuable. All right. Mm-hmm. It just makes it harder to do. It doesn't give it intrinsic value. The fact that it has moved it away from government does give it some value, doesn't give it enormous value. But if the value is going to be based on what does it do? What is the value of that crypto? Mm-hmm. Oh, which means, and the value is based on two dynamics, utility and securitization. Utility means how valuable is it? How useful is it? All right. Like Ethereum gives people the chance to make new crypto coins more efficiently. All right. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin, you know, it's the biggest one out there, but it's still floating around trying to find footing. All right. So what I want people to realize is that we're neither in the future world, which hasn't come yet. Mm-hmm. All right. Of which I believe cryptocurrencies are going to be a part of. And we're not yet done with the collapse of the old. All right. Mm-hmm. So this is where we are. We are in a very dicey situation. Okay. Because you can't see the future. The only part of the future you can see right now, Kerry, is that the old paradigm is collapsing. Political mm-hmm. institutions, healthcare, education, governments, all these institutions that were the basis of the old paradigm are falling away. They provided answers in the old world. In the new world, they're wanting. All right. So you've got the collapse of the old, you've got the emergence of the new, but where we are on that timeline is all we are is seeing the collapse of the old. We're seeing the tendrils of the new, but they're not really visible yet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not in a germane sense. In other words, not in a real actual sense. So in terms of finance, in terms of the structure, you're seeing the collapse of this huge edifice of credit and debt, $100 trillion all around the world. For the first time, every country in the world is on fiat money, okay? Now, the boys who control fiat money are going to do everything they can to keep it propped up, but they've shot their wad, okay? Mm-hmm. They've done quantitative easing. What it has done after 10 years, it's caused demand weekly to start growing at least efficiently enough because they put trillions of dollars of new money in, and so they're having to raise interest rates. Well, raising interest rates is like cutting off your pain meds after you have a crushing, you know, accident, mm-hmm. okay? Because they want to shut off your pain meds because they know the pain meds are going to kill you, mm-hmm. all right? So that's the only reason Jim Cramer's going, you're going to kill us. You know, you're going to kill us. You're raising interest rates. You know, what are you doing? You're raising interest rates, don't you know? The central bankers know. But they also know that they're at the point where the pain meds are about to kill the patient. Mm-hmm. Okay? So they're withdrawing it. The patient's just screaming because all the patient knows is pain. All right? Now, you and I and everybody else is in this matrix right now. All right. The collapse of the old, the emergence of the new. How do we play this? All right. And I basically, I'm a gold and silver boy. All right. And the reason everything, I mean, what the point I want to make here, I've written an article about this. I just haven't published it, Carrie, is this. Mm-hmm. The huge amount, the trillions of dollars that flowed into the markets after 2009 created a bubble in every asset class except gold and silver.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
True. We've seen that.
Okay. Now, why? Because the boys who control the steering wheel also are manipulating the gold and silver markets. Why? Because gold and silver, especially gold, is an indicator of systemic distress. All right. The boy, the central bankers they're basically, they know that if you saw the temperature, if you took a oral reading of your temperature and it was 105, 106, you know, this is dangerous. Mm-hmm. All right. So what they've they fixed the temperature. All right. Mm-hmm. They fixed the temperature gauge in every time of economic distress, monetary distress, the price of gold and silver shot up. All right. And they knew this. So after gold shot up from $31, $32 in 1971 to $850 9 years later, when they pulled gold out of the monetary system, they jammed it down. Mm-hmm. All right. Down to the low mid 200s, you know, 20 years later, and it started pushing away up again. So what they've done is they've controlled this. They did a controlled rise until 1991. They gold moved all the way back up to 1900 in September, and they started leasing gold into the market at a negative interest rate. So in other words, if you were a bullion bank, Carrie, you could lease 10 tons of gold, sell it, invest the money, and pay them back with less money when the term of the loan was up. All right. This flooded the markets with gold and drove the price down. So you've had a falling price of gold, and silver is the same way. I mean, they've manipulated both these markets down. Now, how long are they going to be able to sit on gold and silver? They're going to sit on it until the very end. That's their commitment. All right. So we are sitting there now. We're sitting there. Ray Dalio, you know, Bridgewater Associates. Sure. He said you got to have 5 to 10% of your money. What I loved about Ray, I just found out about him in the 1970s. In the early 1970s, he thought the whole economy was going to collapse. All right, and he put his bet there, and he lost everything. All right, lost everything. All right, and he pulled his way back up. Now he believes, this is what he believes. He's a lot richer. He's a lot smarter. He's a lot less hair trigger, all right? Ray Dalio says we're in the seventh inning of a ninth inning game, okay? Mm-hmm. They've got a relief pitcher in, all right? Their bullpen is depleted, okay? Mm. They don't know what else to do, and we're in the stands, all right? But not only in the stands, you know, you and I and all the people in the stands, we're not on the playing field. We're in the stands. We've got our bets placed with the bookies, all right? Mm-hmm. And we're getting worried about the outcome of the game, all right? I mean— the home team may lose this one, all right? Mm. And now we're sitting here, we're worried, okay? A bunch of people went to crypto figuring that was going to save them during the collapse of fiat, all right? Well, it may, all right? Mm-hmm. And all I can say is this. We are in the seventh inning moving into the eighth. Ray Dalio said we're in the seventh inning before the bubble started popping, okay? Now, the tech bubbles popped in the last month. Real estate started moving last year. It's a much slower indicator. All these things are lagging indicators. They're indicators of what is about to happen. All right. Mm-hmm. And you see that. All right. So this is where we are. We're watching this. We're all in the stands, and we're going to have to place your bet. I mean, because you're in the stands. There's no way you can't place your bets. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're here. You're at the table. You know, and so you've got to do it now. In a rising economy, all right. In a rising economy, stocks were the way to bet. That's where Warren Buffett made so much money. He started buying shares in the 1960s when the post World War II expansion started. Okay, right. And he was a young man. He placed his bet then, and he's ridden it to the top. All right. Now, I don't know how smart he is, but his timing was impeccable and his strategy was impeccable.
Rather be lucky than smart, right?
Yes. Yes. So now here he is. He's at the top of that and it's peaking out. OK, now, so all that is so he rode the stock wave up. Well, up along the way, when stocks will go down, the best bet is an IOU.
Mm-hmm.
Bonds. Okay? Bonds are the best bet. That's an IOU. So you either stocks or bonds. Okay? Now, what is happening, everything's going haywire. The 20-year bond market is unraveling just as the stock markets are peaking too, because the bond markets kept going up because they were shoving interest rates down. Okay? In other words, a bond that you bought now was priced in better for the future than the bonds you bought yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the price of today's bonds kept going up, because they had a lower interest rate attached to it. Okay? Well, they hit zero. There's nowhere for those bonds to go. So what you've got is the perfect storm of credit and debt markets. You've got the perfect storm of growth being tapped out. Growth, which can no longer be sufficient growth, can no longer be achieved by cheap credit or the direct injection of capital, which is quantitative easing. They've topped out. Okay? Bonds, which are IOUs, have stopped growing because they can't get, there's no lower interest rate than zero. All right? And in the end game, Kerry, this is what's most dangerous. A bond is nothing more than an IOU.
Sure.
What happens to IOUs when the system collapses?
Yeah, they become worthless, of course.
They become worthless. What happens to an IOU when fiat money loses its value because they printed so much?
Yeah, it's worthless.
It's worthless. This is where we're at now, okay? Mm. And so my sense is, and I've had a little conversation with you, you know, I told you we're about to launch a crypto, you know, thing next year. We're going to call it Wampum, all right? But anyway, it's, you know, our deal is to back a crypto with gold and silver in one of its forms. But anyway, that's just my own bet, okay? That's just my own bet. Where we are now is that, and that's what, for your listeners here, is that we are at a time in history that has never occurred before. We're at the end of the collapse of a 300-year-old system based on credit and debt. That's really what capitalism was all about. Capital was the word for the banker's money, okay, which was different than the money before capital. Capital before the bankers started issuing out of banks in the form of loans as interest-bearing debt used to have a positive value. All right. It was backed between gold and silver, or it had the absolute faith of a government that had stood there for years, like they had the tally sticks in England. All right. Somebody bigger than you was backing it. All right. Now, what happened when the bankers came up with their bankers' capital for 300 years? It was like snorting coke at a party.
Yes.
You know. With only intermittent consequences, a cold, you know, I mean, you know, maybe a stay in the hospital like the 1930s, you know, but the expansion, the credit-based expansion went up and down, but it constantly and steadily went up. Well, the difference is this: when capitalism started, it started on a dinky little island, England. And the thing is, what people don't understand about capital markets, they have to constantly expand. Why? Why do capital markets have to kind of expand? Because the issuance of money, yes, the interest is basically tied to constantly compounding debt. So the issuance of credit in the form of money accrues constantly compounding debt, which has to be paid, hopefully, by the expanded economic activity. All right. So England, what happened is they reached the limit of their own little country, and they grew so fast because they went all around the world and expanded their economy by conquering other countries. When they reached their peak, which was India, they couldn't go any further. They tried their hand at China. They tried their hand at their belt. They started collapsing. All right. And when they started imploding, the bankers put their same central bank into the United States. So the United States became the surrogate of the bankers. The Federal Reserve is the second iteration of the Bank of England. And we had another burst of expansion. All right. Now we are here where England was 150 years ago. All right. Because basically England reached its peak in the 1850s. The U.S. reached its peak in the 1950s. And by the early part of the next century, England was in a tailspin.
So Daryl.
So that's where we are today.
And what's the time frame? What's going to happen? We're running out of time here. We got about 3 minutes left. Quickly tell us where we're going to be in the coming whatever.
The next 2 years are going to be critical because you're going to see the unwinding of capital markets. We're going to get closer to gold and silver moving up, but you will not see any move of gold and silver until the system collapses. So do not take that as a guarantee that time is up to thin, and you got to place your bets accordingly. We basically have 2 years left. There's going to be some system that replaces the present one. We don't know what it is yet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that about wraps it up. Daryl, where do we find you these days? How do we connect with you on the web?
www.drshoon.com. But I've got, Sandy, JP, and I are putting together a crypto next year. It's going to be called Crypto BP for Bullion Play. So if you just Google that every once in a while, you'll find us.
All right. Hey, excellent. So anyways, if you're looking at the show notes of this interview, there's a link to Daryl's site. Just click it. You'll get right through to it. Be a part of the show and email us, kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, and the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Don't forget, if you're watching on YouTube, why don't you subscribe, like, and share us? Hey, that's a great idea. If any of you are out there listening to the show, send it to somebody if you think it has value, if you think you're getting information that you can't get anywhere else. And believe me, that is the truth, because there's only one person that I know of that called the crash, or the peak, I should say, of Bitcoin to the dollar. And that is yours truly on December 16th, 2017. And I also said that it would hit a low of somewhere 3880. Now I'm saying I think it will cease to exist probably within the next year. There are major technological weaknesses. People think just because you can't corrupt a database that you can't corrupt the blockchain, that it's immutable, which is true. There are other things you can do to totally undermine the faith and confidence in this cryptocurrency. We're not going to see secure cryptocurrencies for another generation or two. So just keep that in mind. Anyway, Daryl, it's great having you on as always. Hey, we're big followers of your work. And
thank you,
keep
Carrie.
It up. All right.
Thank you.
You take care.
You too.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.